Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Joy of the Lord. We are going to be continuing again with Count It All Joy, and the way things are going, I expect this to last for quite some time. I really believe this is quite important because as we are going through so many difficult times right now, I see a lot of fear, not only in fellow Christians, but in the church itself. And seeing as how when I say fellow Christians, we're talking about the church, I'm not just talking about the church as people, but the churches, you know, the buildings, the churches that call themselves Christian churches. Some may be, some may not. The pastors that are running churches, that are leading churches, those who are in leadership positions in churches, whether they be pastors or whether they not be, all these things, we're seeing a lot of fear that is happening right now with ever since the beginning of 2020 when all this pandemic thing has started, or whatever you would like to call it. Some say it's not, some say it is. It doesn't matter what you call it. And honestly, there's been a lot going on, really. Some of you may have seen it over the last 10, 20, even 50 years. The church has been changing massively. And so I want to talk about this, teach about it, what the Bible about when we go through trials, tribulations, persecutions, and how we as followers of Christ are supposed to handle this. What do we do when there is fear going through our country, whatever country you live in? What are we supposed to do when there are problems politically or medically or in each of our individual churches, or when there is persecution upon the church, meaning upon the churches themselves, as I said, the church building, a denomination, or what have you, or the church as Christ called it, the church meaning followers of God, actual followers of Christ. So let's begin. Heavenly Father, we bring ourselves before you now to study your word. We ask that the Holy Ghost be our teacher today, and that he show us exactly what we are to learn from our word. We put ourselves in your hands, Lord, because when we try to do this in the flesh, in our own flesh, with man's wisdom rather than God's, we fail completely. And this is where fear and all of man's fear, all of man's concerns, all of man's wisdoms completely destroy our faith in Christ. And so we ask right now that any fear, any concerns of the world be put aside so that we may follow only your word today, Lord, and only the wisdom of God. In Christ's name, amen. All right. So, again, back to Count It All Joy. And this week, I want to say that that I talk about Carl and his studies on Sundays, and in doing some studying with him, we have come across many other verses, and frankly, I must say that it's a possibility that this Count It All Joy study may never end. And I say this because the more I read, and the more I study, and in doing some studying today as well, I see that scripture is all about counting it all joy. It really is, and I've never seen this before, but Carl and I even noticed that today, or he showed me, or we saw it together, however you would want to put that. But the Holy Spirit really shows it to us as we study his word, that there is to be no fear in our lives, because as we go through scripture and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to pull us closer in our relationship with Christ, we see that there is to be no fear. And when we have no fear, we are able to count it all joy. You see, we are able to see that no matter what we go through in this life here on earth, that when we put the flesh aside and we walk in the Spirit and allow him to do all of the work for us, we are able to begin to count everything as joy. Because the glory all goes to God, and the pride that we had in anything of ourselves gets put aside, and we begin to just thank God for everything that is happening in our lives, no matter what it is, you see, because we see that it is all for our good. Everything that he allows to happen, everything that even the persecutions that come from others, we will be able to count it as joy, because it does show the glory of God in everything. He becomes this majestic, most wondrous God, and everything that happens in us points to his wondrous glory, no matter what we do. If we do it in Christ, then even the unbelievers around us will begin to see his glory. And those who are believers, but may not be as far along yet in their walk, they will begin to see why we have this joy when we walk closer and closer with God. And so let's right now go to his word, and let's prove all of this. So we're going to start today in the book of Philippians. So let me go there. For some reason I had opened to Peter, and I know, because I'm starting in 1 Peter, and that's going to lead us into Philippians. Pardon me. So 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. And we're talking about, let me just go back in for just a moment. This is his first epistle, and he's talking to believers. And I would just say, if you're doubtful of that, go back to 1 Peter verses 1 and 2. And he talks to all of those and says that these are the people who are of Christ, okay? So you know that I give all of these verses out as I go through this, and I would encourage you to write down these verses, as I always encourage you to do so. Go back and write down these verses as I give them to you, and study them for yourselves so that you can see for yourself that everything that I give you in here is truth. Study it for yourselves, but as you do so, pray that the Holy Spirit will show you this truth, okay? Don't just study it in your flesh, but study it in the Holy Spirit. So you can go back and look at 1 Peter 1 and 2 and see that he is talking to believers, not to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Although, as I say this, we know that this is good for the edification of the church, but it's also good for giving the gospel to unbelievers. That said, it's very important that we lead them to Christ before giving them the meat of the word. Amen? Okay. So, you know, as he's talking to them and he's letting them know, listen, you know, we know that this leads us to an inheritance in Christ. The gospel leads them to an inheritance in Christ. And I'm going to just read verse 6 here before I get all the way to 12 to 14. And he says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, this is the same thing that we read in James and in all the other verses I've given you. This is 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. He says the same thing. Rejoice in that although you're grieved by trials, that this leads to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ. See, in verse 8, whom having not seen, you love him. So we haven't seen him yet, but we still love him. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? So, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We love him so much that it's impossible to completely express how much love we have for him. Don't you feel that inside of you, like you love him so much? There's so much joy that you have in your faith, in your salvation, that don't you sometimes just get tongue-tied in trying to tell someone how much joy that your salvation means to you? It's something that you don't even have full words to express. I know that I often feel that way, that I'm trying to express the joy, the love that I have for him, that I can't even get the words out. It's unimaginable, and I love my children. I have children that I love deeply, and I can talk about the love that I have for them, how much love I have. But the joy and love I have for Christ is so unbelievably strong that there are no real words for it. It is beyond words. It's beyond human words. That's why the words like hallelujah and these kind of words those are the words that sort of go up to God, that I'm able to just in the spirit, you know, when I get into prayer, the Holy Spirit helps me to express the love that I have for him, because I cannot in myself, in my flesh, fully express how much I love him. It's just impossible. It's impossible to say to him, Lord, thank you. There are no words to give him thanks completely for what he has done for me. I believe that possibly, and I don't have, I cannot give scripture to back this up, but I believe, again, walking by faith, but not by sight, but I believe that when I see him, that there may be a word that I'm given, or maybe it will just be me falling on my face in front of him in worship, you know, just crying out, hallelujah. There still may be not enough words to express my joy and love at that moment of knowing that I'm in his presence. I don't know. All I know is that this is so true. It is joy inexpressible and full of glory. Full. It's that completely filling us up inside so much that we can't even get it all out. It's that love that he fills us with. See, it's not a fleshly love. It's the love that he gives through us and to us. It's only a love God can give to us that comes out through us. This is why you may sometimes have this love for a fellow Christian or even for someone that you just become overcome with this love for someone that you know doesn't know Christ, and you're so overcome that you must share the gospel with him. That is not something that you manufacture or something that you in your own flesh feel this inordinate amount of love that you must share the gospel. That's something that God gives to you. He brings that through you, because without that love of God, you could not care enough for that person to want to see him saved so much that, you know, I know, and I've heard many people, and I have been there, so I understand this. I have been there where I used to say, you know, I'm not that person. I can't overcome my shyness or my inability to speak in public or my inability to, you know, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know the words, whatever. Don't depend on yourself. Just pray that God will give you the ability, because he's the only one that can. He's the only one that can overcome those inabilities in the flesh that you have. Only God can do that. So put aside all those, you know, all those inabilities that you have. Put aside all those fears that you have of being unable to do anything. You see, let me tell you something. I did not believe that I had the ability to do this ministry that I do right now here. And I was right. I was right. You see, I, in my life, have been through horrific things, okay? So much so that you would probably say, how did you do that? I did it because of God. I got through it because of God, and I'm still getting through it. But you see, in my own flesh, I could not do what I'm doing today, and that is speaking to you. This is not me. This is...
No, this was my first. Okay, this is Carl. I was listening to Raven on the phone, and we've lost her. I don't know how, but I'm back in. Raven, do you want to call in? And you know what? I don't have my iPad up. Maybe I should go do that. Because I have no way of taking your call. Hold on, just Raven, give me a minute here, and I'm going to get the iPad running, and then I'll be able to take your call, because I am connected back to the radio program as far as my phone tells me. Now, you and I both know that from my experience every Sunday, this is magic. Okay, Raven, I've got it up. You know what? I've got it up. Hold on. This is not right. I've got my program on, and that is not what I want. My program is in 3 days. I joined your program. I'm going to try that again. Okay, I might as well get off. I'm not in. I can't do it.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there now.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, are you, I wonder if you're on the program, because I came in too.
Okay, you can hear me?
I can sure hear you, yes. But I've dialed in
okay.
My host pin. And I think that I've got you on now as a guest. Just bear with me here. Let me make sure I understand what I'm doing, because I can do things. Yes, I've got your phone number up here. I'm the host,
okay.
And I got you on as a guest. So you go ahead.
Okay, great. I'm not sure what happened. It
Raven,
somehow
Raven,
disconnected
it's,
me.
It's every, Raven, out of 10 programs we both do, 8 of them are going to have an issue.
Yeah, it disconnected me
either.
And then would not let me back on.
I know it wouldn't, and yet I was able to get on, and that's not, folks, we're every week, every Sunday, out of 10 Sundays, I have difficulties with this. Raven tries to help me. Okay, go ahead. You can continue.
Thanks so
but
much,
But I'm
Carl.
On the joy of the Lord. Count it all joy. You've got an hour to go.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate your help.
Okay,
there.
I'm going to sign off. I'm going to sign off because you're in. Okay.
Okay. All right. So here we go. I'm sorry for the confusion there, folks. This kind of thing just happens sometimes. All right. So let's see. So I'm in 1 Peter. And you know what? I'm going to say a prayer again here because, you know, I don't know why this seems, this is the first time I've had this kind of situation happen, but we're not going to allow, you know, as we know, our battle is spiritual. It's not of the flesh. All these battles are spiritual, and I'm going to take it as
Raven?
What's that?
I want to say something. I'm going to say something that's mean, folks, so I'm going to hang up as soon as I'm done.
Okay.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who has trouble. Amen. And I'll listen to you.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right. Father, we cast aside everything that will come against your ministry, Lord. All evil spirits, all demons, anything of Satan that will try to come upon this ministry, come upon your ministry, Lord, come against your word. And we ask that you now take complete control over this. I tried to say that in the beginning prayer, and Lord, I repent of that if I did not give this completely over to you. This is your ministry, Lord. I give it to you and ask that you take care of any problems that would try to come against it. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so back to 1 Peter. The Lord is in control. So he says, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And in spite of the fact that anything that was against this program, this ministry of God, tried to take it over, we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, because this is God's ministry. This is God's ministry. And no matter what happens, the devil is not going to take away his ministry. The devil cannot stop God. He cannot stop him. No matter what happens, in the end, we know that God wins. Amen? He is the one that will win. The devil cannot stop him. He can put little things in his way, but he cannot stop him. And he cannot stop us from spreading the word. Amen? All right, let's continue. We still have joy inexpressible and full of glory. We are saved. We know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And there is nothing that we will allow to stop us spreading the gospel as long as we stay true to our Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, verse 10, I guess I started earlier than what I expected to, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I have, I thought I'd lost it for a second again, but I didn't. Okay, good. So the Holy Spirit said, I want you to start earlier in 1 Peter 1, and so that's what I did, and I'm going to continue. Even though I thought I was only going to start at verse 12, we're going to go straight through. All right, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Amen, the grace that would come to you. You know, I just want to say this real quick, and that is that this was perfect. This was a perfect, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This was just perfect. And this just showed that, yes, we have small trials. We have large trials. We have persecutions. We have so many things that come upon us. But we cannot allow Satan or his demons or any of those to take our joy. We cannot. The joy that does not come from anything in the flesh, anything in the world. It comes from God, and we must continue to see that in everything. Our joy comes from him. It doesn't come from this computer I have sitting in front of me or the phone that I had to end up calling in on to get on. It doesn't come from those things. It comes from nothing earthly. Our joy comes from the Lord and always will. Okay, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So you see what he's saying here is the prophets of the Old Testament, they searched the scriptures continually. They inquired of God. That even back then, they asked of the Holy Spirit to And they prophesied then in return of after talking to God and speaking with the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied of the grace that would come to you. They knew that Christ was coming, you see. They knew that he was coming, even though they went through trials then. They knew that Christ was coming to take us to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law that they were trying so hard in many times. They were going through this and going through all of they were going through all their daily, the hand washing and everything that we will talk about at some point, but all these little all these little man-made traditions, and even the things that God told them to do at some times, you know, he gave them all these little tiny laws and all these little tiny things to keep. Why? Because he wanted them to see they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And so they went through all the persecutions. What did they do? They went through the wilderness. Right? They went out through the wilderness, just as we are often out in the wilderness saying, Lord, Lord, help us. And it isn't until we say, Lord, help us, that we get that joy, you see, because we understand then why we were out in the wilderness. It wasn't until we began to seek him then. We seek his face. We must seek his face. Not try to prove it on our own. Remember when Moses, when all these people were out in the wilderness following him, and they kept saying they would get what they wanted. They were crying to him, not to God, but to him, and saying, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, here we're at this river and they're right behind us. And he would say to them, stop and realize that God is taking care of us. And so we say that Moses, tapped his rod and the sea was split and they were allowed to go across the sea. But who actually split that sea? Who actually did it? It wasn't Moses. It was God that did it. See, we only have power from God. This power is not ours. It comes through us from God. We would have no power whatsoever if it wasn't given to us from God. We would have nothing, absolutely nothing whatsoever. So the sea was split. They went across, and, you know, just as the Pharaoh and his people started across, boom, the sea came in on top of them and killed them. It wasn't that they just, you know, some people would say, oh, the sea, you know, then came in and that they were stopped from coming across. No, they were killed. They had already started across the sea. You see, it was very wide. It was very wide, so they had come across, and boom, they were killed. So they got across, and thank God we were saved, and we got across, and now they start to whine again, right? Oh, but now we want food. We don't have food. And this is exactly what we do, you see. Instead of counting it all joy, we begin to complain. We complain and complain and complain. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. I don't have a 50-inch screen TV. My car is 20 years old. You know, give me a new one, Lord. Give me a new one of these. Why aren't you doing what I want you to do? And so, you know what happens? So God allows us to go through trials because he doesn't want us whining for the things that we want, but he wants us to see the joy in coming through the things that we need. We sit here and we complain and whine about money and about, you know, us wanting a, you know, 2021 or now a 2022 Escalade or whatever it is that is what you want. You want, you know, a $500,000 home because your $225,000 house. I see people that, you know, it's two people, just a couple, and they want a 5,000 square foot home. Why? Why do you need a house with six bedrooms and four baths for two people? I mean, seriously, folks? It's, you know why? It's pride. It is, seriously, all it is pride. Now, I understand that some people may say, well, you know, my kids and my grandkids, they come and visit and whatever. Okay. So what? You need a four-bedroom house or a three-bedroom? You know, when we used to have people come and visit us, I mean, we gave our bedroom up to the visitors. My kids doubled up and tripled up and slept in sleeping bags on the family room floor. You know, we took one of my kids' beds. I mean, you know what? Make it work. You don't have to look like you are, like you're all that. Give to the poor. Help. This is what Christ tells us to do. Instead of taking the $500,000 or whatever, or $100,000 that you make each year and puffing yourself up and making sure that you are competing with the Joneses, you know, help those who are less fortunate than you. And it doesn't have to be with money. If you don't have the money, then you can help others by doing for them. When's the last time that you gave the gospel to your neighbor? When's the last time you gave the gospel to your brother, to your best friend? You know, it doesn't have to be money. All I'm saying is that if you're going through trials, make sure that instead, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you're going through trials. Be careful. Don't judge your brother either. I'm not saying you're going through trials because you are, it's not that we go through trials because we are not holy enough. We go through trials because none of us is holy enough. I hope that makes sense. You know, now we can't sit here and judge each other. Okay, we can't judge each other because not one of us is good enough. Does that make sense? Not one of us is good enough. Every single one of us is not good enough. None of us is good enough for God. And so what we do instead then is we say, and I've had this happen to me, okay? What we say instead is that we look at each other and we say, well, you're going through trials because you are not, you're not living holy enough for God, or you're sick because you're not doing things correctly, okay? And so that's what we do. But the truth is, as Christ said, you know, before you sit here and point at point at the splinter in your friend's eye, take the beam out of your own eye. Each and every one of us has these major problems in our lives. And so God allows us to go through these trials, not once, not twice, but over and over again. Because each of us has made, has sins in our lives. Each of us does. Let me tell you that I do. I'm not trying to tell you at all. Well, you know, Kelly, if you're listening, I'm telling you this because you have problems. And John, if you're listening, I'm pointing the finger at you. I'm not pointing the finger at any of you. I'm pointing the finger at myself. I go through trials all the time. And I may have a short time where, oh, things are a little bit better for now. That's because he's allowing me to recoup from the last one so I can get ready for the next, because it's surely coming. That's because he wants me to learn each time to count it all joy. We must learn to count it all joy. And as he takes us through these things, we do learn to count it all joy. He says, now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. I haven't even gotten yet to the first verse of Scripture that I intended to start with, yet the Holy Spirit is saying, that's okay. We may get there yet. We may get there yet. And that's all right. That's okay, because listen, we go where the Holy Spirit leads us. That is what we're supposed to do. Go where the Holy Spirit leads you. Because if you're going where you want to be led, let me tell you, you're never going to get there. You're
going to get there. What you're going to do is you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck in whining, and you're going to be stuck by verse 6, grieved by various trials. You're just constantly going to be grieved, always. Do you want to be grieving your whole life? Do you want to just sit there and, oh, woe is me, and whining about, oh, I just hate living in this life? Because you know what that leads to? It leads to walking away from him. That's what it leads to. Okay, so we read verse 10 about how the prophets prophesied of the grace that would come to you. To who? To those people that he wrote this epistle to, the saved, the believers. So verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. Did you hear that? These prophets, they prophesied and searched what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them. So what does that mean? The Holy Spirit who also came upon them, okay? We know that he came upon, although he did not indwell those of the Old Testament, he did come upon them, right, for periods of time. We didn't have the indwelling until the new covenant, let me be clear, the only difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is that the Holy Spirit now indwells us. Instead of looking forward to the coming of Christ, it's looking backward to the fact that he has already come and we now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's that permanent indwelling, and I use that permanent for you to understand that it's as long as you are in Christ, as long as you are a believer. okay? But it says the Spirit of Christ who was in them. So whenever the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was upon them, it was the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Remember that when Christ came here on earth, he told us, listen, I'm going to leave earth, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit as your comforter to be that one who is going to remind you constantly of everything that I taught you. And he will be your counselor. He will be your teacher. It's that Spirit of Christ. And who is Christ? Christ is also God, right? It's that Trinity. It is that, and don't ask me to explain the Trinity because it's impossible. We can come up with all kinds of metaphors, and that's not our place, okay? I have heard a gazillion people try to give the craziest metaphors and the craziest explanations for the Trinity that I've ever heard in my life. And please don't do that. I'm asking you, please don't do that. Don't try to explain the Trinity in human fleshly ways. If and when you get to heaven someday, if you get in the presence of God, you may have a little better understanding. But while we are in this body, don't try to explain it all, because we cannot understand in our flesh right now the Trinity. We can't really understand how it is God in three persons. That is the best way we can understand it, is there, he is three in one. All we know is that it is God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit in one person. They are all God. That's enough. That is enough for us to know, right? It's enough for us to know. And just to believe, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight, to try to see it with our eyes and say, okay, I can see that. And let me tell you, when I first, there's a book called The Shack out there that tries in human words and in human, some kind of, in a fiction form, in a novel, to try to explain the Trinity. And I know that many of you love this book, so please stand me when I say try to stay away from such things that treat the Trinity, that treat God as if he's some sort of fleshly being. Christ was here in the flesh for a short period of time only to teach us, yes, but really so that he could become our Savior. That was really his purpose, just to become our Savior, period. That was his purpose. I mean, that was his true purpose here on earth. So I would encourage you not to put into your mind those things which turn God into some sort of a part of fiction. He's not fiction. Amen? He's not fiction. He is our holy, glorious creator. And turning him into a work of fiction demeans him. I'm not going to go in any further than that, but I would just encourage you to consider those words. All right. So when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and you can read in the Old Testament that they did testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ. They prophesied in the Old Testament the sufferings of Christ. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves. Now, here's where we're getting into finally where I was going. Verse 12, to them, the Old Testament, it was revealed that they were ministering the things which now had been reported to you, right? To the prophets of the Old Testament, it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So even the angels are just so, they have the same joy, inexpressible and full of glory, when they hear about the salvation which Christ has given us. Amen? Isn't that marvelous? That it's not just us, but even the angels are marveled by what Christ has done, by what God did in sending his son to die for us. You see, even the angels love looking at his word. Okay, so now, verse 13, therefore, remember I'm still in 1 Peter 1, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest. Now, be sober doesn't, I mean, yes, be sober, don't be drunk, but what it really means is stay affixed on the word and don't be all, sort of like what I just said, don't take it seriously. Don't take it as like some sort of silliness or allow it to be fictionalized, so to speak, or don't just take it as something like, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. Be sober about it. Take it very serious. This is not some sort of like, oh, you know, big deal. It's not that serious. You know, this is important. This is serious. This is God. He is holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. So, you know, be prepared when you study scripture. Be always prepared when you're thinking about God. This is some very serious stuff. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you are studying God's word, you should pray beforehand and ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher and to show you exactly what it is that you are to get from the word that you are reading, the word that you are studying. Don't just read through it. Don't just take, you know, let me give you an example again. When I started this today, I talked about how Carl and I studied together sometimes. And when we do so, we don't go, you know, reading, three or four chapters at a time. We go verse by verse, and we really talk about what that verse means and the importance of it and what the Holy Spirit is saying through that verse. And we may go back to other verses that talk about that verse, and we may read other verses, and we, you know, one of us doesn't just say, well, I think that means that, and therefore that's what it is, and the other one, oh, yep, you're right, and move on. No, we study that verse in depth. And, you know, and if one person says, well, you know, I'm sort of getting this, what about this other verse and what this says? And the other one may say, you know, I do see that. And we don't just take it as some sort of we're not just unconcerned about it, like, well, you know what, maybe it is and maybe it isn't. We're very concerned when we study the word. It's not something that we just see as, well, might be this or might be that, but let's just move on. You know, if we're uncertain about something, you know, we make sure that we have the Holy Spirit that is doing the teaching and that it's not something in our own flesh. This is very important. It's very important. It says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the showing of him. Make sure that Jesus Christ is showing you what you are to learn from that. And who shows you what Jesus Christ is teaching you? The Holy Spirit. He is your teacher. As obedient children, verse 14, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance. So, you know, not the way you maybe used to read the Bible when you may have been in churches before where, you know, you just sort of went through the motions, right? Or you sort of laughed at scripture and, you know, it wasn't all that serious. It was just something you just sort of read as history or whatever. No, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Right? And ignorance doesn't mean stupid, by the way. It means unknowing. Unknowing. So the former lust is when you weren't aware, you didn't know Christ. That was when you didn't know him. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So as you go through these trials, you know, you are being conformed to Christ. You are being conformed to him. We are, and that is what the purpose is of going through these trials, you see. He is conforming us more and more to him. And it took me quite a long time. It has taken me an hour just to get through the very first part of what I was going through. But you know why? This is because I allowed the Holy Spirit, and I shouldn't say I allowed, he is driving this. You know, and this is what we are to do when we study scripture. Pray and ask him to take you through what you're studying. Don't allow it to be what you want it to be. Make sure that when you're going through study of scripture, that it is him. It is him that is taking you through, not you. Because when you begin to be the one, then there is no reason for you to even study scripture. If you're going to do it in the flesh, then you might as well just give it up and say, as I've said many times, I might as well just be studying a dictionary. When you take it and study scripture in the flesh, there is absolutely no reason for you to study it at all. You're not getting anything out of it unless you're studying from the very beginning and saying, Lord, okay, show me how to know you more. Because the rest of it, if you're going into the meat of the word and if you're going into the meat of the word without the Holy Spirit guiding you, you're not learning anything. And if you don't know, if you don't have an understanding of how to study the word with the Holy Spirit, I suggest strongly that you get yourself a mentor, someone that you know knows God deeply. Someone that you know is, this is so funny. I have to tell you something very interesting. Part of what I read there was not even at all where I tended to die. This is so funny. The Holy Spirit just took me into a place, into a different chapter than I intended to go. Even a different chapter. I was reading. Thank you, Lord. This is not, I misread my own notes. And the Holy Spirit took me into something where I did not intend. That's all right. You know, this is exactly what I mean when I say this. When I say, let the Holy Spirit lead you, this is exactly what I mean. Because I ended up in some place that wasn't even in my notes. Very interesting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking me someplace that I did not intend to go. I just looked at this, and this was not in my notes at all. I misread my notes. You know, I love you, Lord. You know so much more than I know, and you know where we should be. All right, well, we are now going into 1 Peter 4, 1 Peter 4. You know, he knows where we should be, even when I do not. So, 1 Peter 4, verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And these two verses go exactly with what I just read, do they not? They go exactly with where the Holy Spirit took me for the first hour. He is so good. You know, I just want to give him glory right now because I had no intention of going into 1 Peter at all, absolutely none. And I don't even, or 1 Peter 1. I had no intention of going into 1 Peter 1, and the Holy Spirit took me there anyway. And now I'm going to have to write that down in my notes because it's so good. If I would ever do this study somewhere again, I have to make sure I do it. I love you, Lord. Okay. So, he says, don't think it's strange, right? So when we are going through trials, he says, don't get upset about it. Don't think it's strange. Don't, in fact, you know, when someone else says to us, look, you know, you've got problems. You've got issues. You are going through trials, so there must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong with your walk. you can go right here to 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 and just say, well, it's not strange that I'm going through trials. Maybe it's strange that you're not. Right? Maybe it's strange that they're not. Don't think it's strange as if some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. Rejoice. Tell them, listen, Christ suffered. Why should I not? Why should I not suffer? And he says, rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. See, his glory is revealed in you. His glory is revealed in you when you go through sufferings and what? When you come out the other side rejoicing. Rejoicing. Because what's going to happen is you are going to be able to show God's glory in the trials that have you gone through. I guarantee you, God is going to use it for your good and his glory. He will. Now, you may not see it now. You may not see it now. There are some things that I went through many, many, many years ago. And it's not until now, I'm talking 40, 50, 60 years ago, okay? And I'm not seeing the good until now. It's only now that I'm beginning to really see the good. So if you are 15 years old and you're struggling, if you're 20, if you're 30, and you're going through trials, let me tell you something. Do not be, even if you're a Christian, you may not be a Christian yet. You may not know the Lord yet. I encourage you to seek his face and realize that you may not see the good yet, but seek him. Count it all joy now, because he will be glorified in it. And let me tell you something else. You might not even see it, all of it. You might see some of it. You may see, like, I can't give you exact, but let's just say that you're going through some sort of abuse. I'm just going to give an example, okay? Because I don't know what any of you is going through. But let's just say that you're going through spousal abuse now. And you say, and it's severe. And you say to me, but you don't understand what I'm going through. And let's say that even your children have walked away from you, and you're saying, I am completely alone. I want to tell you right now that you may not see the good even while you're living. But if you continue to live for God, okay, the good and his glory may show after you're gone. Now, I have something in particular that I've not seen, a couple things actually, that I've not seen, okay, several things, but I've not seen my good and his glory show up for yet. But I'll tell you something. I believe that it will happen. There are some things that I believe it may not happen till after I'm gone. It's possible. But I have prayed for this, and I've put it in his hands because I believe and trust in him. And you must do that same thing. You must. And you must also believe that even if a particular way that you are praying, okay, let's say that you are praying for, let's say that you're praying that someone, maybe a child, maybe you have a child with cancer, okay? Maybe you have a child with cancer, and I don't know, again, your situation. But let's say that that child, if that child were to pass away this year, and you don't understand why, you must believe that God knows why. It's better for that child to pass now than 10 years from now or 50 years from now, because you don't know what God knows. And he may know that if that child lived to be 60, that it would be worse for that child. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is God knows what would happen if that child were to live to be 60. He knows everything. So know that God knows what's best. It may hurt you now, but realize that God knows everything. He knows what's best for that child. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for everyone else. Perhaps he will use in a ministry of his through you, if you continue in him, he knows that he will be able to use a ministry through you for others who might lose children or who go through a problem with their children having cancer or losing children. I hope that makes sense. I don't even know why, but the Holy Spirit just led me to say this, and that is that you may have a ministry in Christ for other people. You see, he can use everything that goes on in your life. This is why you must count it joy, not necessarily because it's not joyous to lose a child. The joy comes in being able to work for God. The joy comes in knowing that you can help someone else for him. The joy comes in knowing that you may be able to lead someone else to Christ or keep someone else from walking away from him because of something you've gone through. You know, you may meet, even if it's one other person, even if it's only one person comes to you and is dying inside because they have or are losing a child. And you have the ability to explain to them, to bring them to knowing Christ because you've been where they are. Hallelujah. I mean, this is where the joy comes from. Nothing in your flesh, but in knowing that the Lord can bring you through what you're going through. And then can use you to bring someone else through. That's the joy. The joy is not you saying, well, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you took my child. That's not it. It's thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share you with someone else. Thank you, Lord, for holding me in your arms, giving me the Holy Spirit to comfort me. Thank you, Lord, for comforting me in that I believe that even though my child is gone, he or she is with you. Ask him for that comfort. We can't count it all joy that we're sick, but we can count it all joy that he is going to use that sickness for him. I have some serious illness, but you know what? I count it all joy that he's using it for him. He has shown it to me, how he's using it for him. I mean, there was a time a few years ago when I was angry about it, but he's using it for him. Hallelujah. Praise his name. He's using my problems for him. And please, don't get messed up about it. There are times when I am not happy about it at all. But I have to remember to turn back to him and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I understand. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you. And this is where we have to stay. This is where we have to stay. If you are reproached, verse 14 in 1 Peter 4, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, so if you are persecuted for him, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, on the part of those who are persecuting you, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. That those who persecute you, those who will give you a hard time, those who laugh at you for carrying a Bible, those who look at you funny for saying, praise God, you know, they blaspheme him. And what happens to blasphemers? We know what happens to them. They are cursed. But on your part, he is glorified. He is glorified. And remember what verse 13 said? You may then be glad with exceeding joy. Every time you praise his name, you should be glad with exceeding joy. You should feel rivers of gladness coming up in your heart when you glorify him. When you realize, what did the beginning of 14 said? Blessed are you. You are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Verse 16 says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Verse 17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And we see this happening everywhere. Judgment is beginning at the house of God. If you have not seen this, I ask you to look around. Look at the churches. We see judgment happening in the churches. Do you not see sin in the very churches themselves? We see not just homosexuals leading in the church, but actual as pastors. We see homosexual pastors. We see pastors condoning it. We see homosexual marriages in the church. We see more than that. We see pastors covering their eyes, blinding themselves and saying, I don't see this. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about many kinds of sin. They don't want to see it. Why? Because of the actual reason why these things go on. Money, pride. They're not in it for God. They are in it because of pride, because they may not even know God. I mean, let's face it. What started the fall of man. It was pride. It was pride. It was Genesis 3, right? In fact, let's just go there real quick. If we go to Genesis 3, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when, verse 6, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. It's pride. This is what's happening in the church. It's pride. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God because of pride. And if it begins with us first, the church, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And what is obedience of the gospel? It's taking Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is important that we do have the joy of the Lord. This is not easy, but the only way to have it is by going through the trials and tribulations that God allows us to go through. And he allows us to go through them for our good and his glory. And I'm going to end with where I started last week, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect and complete. Now, we know that we're not going to be perfect here on earth in the way that we think of perfect. Then that word complete means mature. It's maturity in Christ. It is that ability to get to the point where we no longer need the milk of the word, that beginning, right? That needing to come to where all we need to do is talk all the time about being saved, but instead where we talk about the things we're talking about right now, where we're able to count it all joy when we come into persecution, when we come into trials, when we come into all these problems, and when we see them as we're able to count it all joy. In fact, let's read Hebrews 5 right here. It says in verse 13 and 4. In fact, let's start in. I don't know if I have time there. I might. Teen of Hebrews 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And there are many who are still babes in Christ. But once we get a certain way along, we should be further. We should no longer need just milk of the word. Verse 14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, God says to us that we should at some time come to maturity. We should come to the realization that we may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We should be mature. And the way to do that is to learn to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. All right. Father, we thank you so much for showing us how we can come through your the trials and the temptations and the tribulations that you allow us to come through, because we know that that is how we come to maturity in Christ. We love you and we glorify you for the ministries that you allow us to have. In Christ's name, amen.